Have you ever watched one of those very long, boring, and slow dramas in the movies that always get Oscar nominations? Also,
several.
Have you ever heard of Stockholm Syndrome? It's when you are stuck with something for so long, you end up liking it. Kind of the same reason why people love their families, their cities, their homes, their countries. Well, the only way people can like this series is due to Stockholm Syndrome. It's so boring that even the characters in it are bored or apathetic all the time.
I don't think Stockholm even exists in that world.
All the interesting things like fighting a demon king have already happened. Also, characters are boring, uncreatively written, and annoying.
Yeah, Kiari said they were boring.
The only reason I like you guys is because I'm stuck in this podcast with
it's
you.
It's Stockholm Syndrome, right?
This show is wasting your precious limited time while you're alive.
Oh my God.
That was a one-star review on IMDb. Hello there, and welcome to Spoilers Intended, a podcast about series and films. I am your host, Andrew, joined as always by Ryan.
What's up?
And Steven.
Hey, hey, hey.
This week, we are discussing the 2023 anime Frieren Beyond Journey's End, produced by Studio Madhouse, who have done notable works like One Punch Man, A Place Further Than the Universe, Perfect Blue, Death Note, Monster, Black Lagoon, Wolf Children, Trigun, Cardcaptor Soccer, and so many more.
So many more.
One of the most prolific anime studios of all time.
This released in 23?
Yeah.
Wow.
September.
I guess. Oh, good Lord.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Oh, good Lord.
But yeah. Okay. So before we go any further, we have to do our initial knee-jerk reactions for the episode of Love It, Like It, Hate It, whatever you want to do. Ryan.
I like this show a lot.
Okay.
That's my knee-jerk reaction.
Steven.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was quite nice.
Yep, I loved it. So there we go.
There we go.
Well, already a ringing endorsement.
Yeah. So let's kind of get into a quick summary here, which is pretty interesting. And actually would help if I actually had the summary in my notes, but
cool
I didn't.
It would be cool if this guy was prepared.
No need.
It's really funny. I actually have so much written down. I just didn't write that down.
Always the essential part.
Let's vamp about Andrew being unprepared.
Okay. Luckily, it's very much in my recently searched yes. terms. So an elf and her friends defeat a demon king in a great war, but the war is over and the elf must search for a new way of life.
Yeah.
Okay. That's it. Fair enough.
That's
fair
pretty
enough.
Much it. Yeah.
But yeah, so this show has kind of taken the anime community by storm. It is currently ranked as the number one anime of all time on both My Anime List and Anime News Network.
Of all time?
Of all time.
Oh, Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood
Here's some quick stats, because obviously we don't have any like budget stats or anything like that. It doesn't exist.
Sure. It didn't make a box office. Yeah.
So it's kind of crazy. So Frieren right now is like a 9.39 weighted average by 643,000 users.
On
My Anime List.
643,000 users?
Yes.
Wow, that's a lot of votes, actually.
And this is kind of where we're going to start the episode, is basically, so Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
The episode started a while back.
Well, it did. But the discussion. So Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood is at a 9.09 weighted average of 3.3 million users from the lifetime. This basically ended 14 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's how long it's had to build up this many users.
Right.
And all that kind of stuff. So then you have Frieren, which is still under a million, but it's a brand new show, which is very, very rare for it to have this many.
It's pushing like a fifth of the way there on Full Metal in terms of votes.
It is. And that's kind of where the weighted average comes in.
Yeah, yeah.
Is because they're looking at it from the perspective of how many users are like giving it ratings at a certain level in a certain amount of time. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
And it's also top on Anime News Network. It's crazy.
I didn't realize it was that popular. I knew it was, but I didn't know how popular.
The memes are everywhere, and they're all good.
Yeah, basically, if you have a show, particularly anime, that can meme, then it's like you're to the moon, pretty much.
You're going, yeah.
Yeah.
It probably helps a lot with discovery, too, just like the more memes you're seeing from a show.
That's actually one of the reasons why we started watching it, like mm-hmm. my wife and I, is like when we were in Japan, we saw it like it was already airing and everything. I was like, oh, this is just another generic fantasy show. Not interested.
Right.
And, you know, we came back from Japan. People were still talking about it. And I was like, okay, you know, it's kind of interesting now, but I'm not really a big fantasy fan.
He doesn't. Mm-hmm. Andrew's not a sword and board boy.
Yeah. Sword and board, B-O-R-E-D.
Sword and board.
But, you know, we finally gave in. We watched the first episode and immediately hooked.
Yeah.
Just like, and there's 28 episodes out. The first season's already out. They have confirmed at the time of recording that there is going to be a second season.
Nice.
There is no time of when that's going to happen.
Sure.
We don't know if it's going to be Studio Madhouse again, which I really
hope so.
It doesn't. Terrifying thought after what they did to One Punch Man.
Yeah,
right. I hope it doesn't.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't get the One Punch Man treatment and they change studios, because this, the production staff for this show was kind of like the best of everyone. Mm-hmm. Like, the show is incredibly well animated, has phenomenal music, great storytelling, just, it's great all around.
Which is actually interesting, because there are definitely a lot of portions of the anime where it doesn't have to be the best animation ever.
Yeah. And then they're just like, I'm going to animate the hell out of this dude putting on a coat.
Yeah, they're just randomly like, by the way, though, we're going to go, all that hair, that's just going side to side here in front of the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys, calm down.
Yeah, so I'm curious of what you guys have generally thought about it, because I started watching it, then I got Ryan interested in it.
And yeah, you texted me and you were basically like, hey, you should check this. You know, if you don't have anything you're watching right now, check out this, you know, show.
It's good.
I was like, I don't even know why. Mm-hmm. But you texted me at the perfect moment. Like, I had just made a little snack, had my drink. I was heading downstairs,
It was like an instant payoff. You're like, I'm gonna see what's on the tube, see what I can watch.
Literally nothing on my plate as far as what I was planning to do. I was going to just sit down and I'll find something. You suggest, I go, I'll give it a shot. One episode in, I was like, whoa. And then I got sick that weekend and was off work like Friday. I went through the entirety, I think it was like 14 episodes were out at the time in like 48 hours. I was just like going through it. So,
I remember like the next week whenever we were recording, I was like, oh, you know, what did you think about Freer? And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm already caught up. I'm like, what?
Right. Like, I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
no. So, I mean, obviously, you know, you clearly liked it initially. But now that we've seen the whole show, and obviously we're going to stay spoiler free.
Sure.
What are your thoughts?
For now.
So here's my thoughts. I love this show overall. I think it's really good. I like all the characters. I like the slice of life style nature of it that I didn't expect going into it. I thought it was going to be like a sword and board or like
And it's not that at all.
It's not that at all.
Slice of life, kind of nostalgic.
The way you pitched it to me and the initial concept is what really got me. It's this elf who all of her friends are dying or have died.
Mm-hmm.
We're past the Lord of the Rings style big adventure.
Just because she's outliving them, not because they're like getting murdered.
Sorry. For clarification, she's an elf, so she lives longer.
They won, and she's just outliving them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that concept, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I haven't seen anything like that. Mm-hmm. I want to see that. So I think for me, where the show struggles a little is in this back half where they start introducing a lot of new characters, specifically a lot of mages.
Oh, I disagree.
I didn't dislike it.
I disagree.
My problem was in the front half.
It hurts the pacing a little bit.
Well, let me finish.
Yeah.
So for me,
I'll let you finish, Ryan, but first.
You clearly won't. For me, it wasn't the introduction of the new characters necessarily, because that's fine. I like some of them better than others.
Yeah.
Right. But it's the rhythm they had when they were bouncing between the past and the future in each episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, this is cool. We're kind of getting
the same story. Yeah.
Twice. Mm-hmm. They stopped that basically in the back half with like maybe a tiny flashback here and there to the previous stuff. And for me, it changed the whole rhythm of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked the, we flash back and now it pays off in the future. We flash back and it pays off in the future type thing it had going in the front half.
So the only real defense that I would have for that is this, the big arc that happens at the end, which we'll talk about, is definitely a very large setup for stuff to come later on.
Okay.
Of course.
And because like basically all the characters that are introduced here are not characters that are like one off. Like they will come back in some capacity or another. But the other part is too, when they're not traveling, you're not getting those flashbacks because there's no reason for them.
Yeah. It makes sense. Like,
thematically. Like, narratively.
And within those episodes, you do get some flashbacks.
A little bit here and there.
give. It's just not to the same extent.
Yeah, yeah. And your point's right. Like, it's because they were traveling, and every place they went, there was a flashback mm-hmm. to when they came through first time. Yeah.
And also, when they're traveling, the party is very small, right? It's 2, 3, max 4 people, essentially. Yeah. So then when you have flashbacks, you add in a couple extra characters by flashing back. Well, yeah, when you get to the later arcs, and you have, you've been introduced to 12 new faces who are all seemingly persistent characters through several episodes, they just don't need to add the other three from the
past. Because then it becomes too packed.
It's just so much. Yeah.
Well, and the way that they do that storytelling, like kind of doing flashbacks to whenever the Heroes Party was journeying to go kill the Demon King, it does, it's such a good job of narratively keeping everything kind of relevant.
Yes.
And it really does pace the episodes incredibly well. Mm-hmm. And it has incredible emotional throughput.
Right. And like, so for me,
there's a couple episodes you're just like, oh God, am I going to cry? Like,
yeah, I got emotional several times in some of those. It's also the back half. I don't think they should have crammed more flashbacks. It's that when they introduce the new characters, there are a handful of them that I'm like, eh, whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like, man, I would have much rather had more development with the original crew from the flashbacks, because I love the little bit we're finding out about them with every flashback, right? Mm-hmm.
Well, and I will say, too, that the later characters that are introduced, again, because you have to be introduced to them and they have to do things within the story,
right?
There are some very archetypal anime characters.
Yes, there are.
You have specific roles that are immediately fulfilled as soon as this character walks to the screen, like, oh, it's going to be this type of character, and it's going to be that type.
Hey, it's glasses guy.
Yeah, it's the glasses. He's got to push his glasses. Yep.
Well, and it's definitely one of those. So this show, or the manga, the original manga, written by, please hold. I'm going to mess up a lot of Japanese names. Some of these are actually kind of tough. Kanehito Yamada, he's the writer, and the manga is illustrated by Tsukasa Abe. Okay. And
so how far ahead of the show is the manga?
I was about to get there.
Oh, good.
So the original, so this
lands at home.
This manga started in 2020.
Oh, okay.
Heat of COVID. Like April 28th of 2020.
The heat of COVID.
So this is like, hey, you're in lockdown. And the dude's like, guess I'll write a manga.
Yeah, pretty much. So, and this is in Weekly Shonen Jump. Okay. So this is...
So it's currently having chapters released.
Yes.
Currently.
So there are 12 volumes out.
Okay.
The anime, all 28 episodes, ends at basically the end of volume 5.
Okay, so they've got a solid another 28 episodes worth of manga to work with ahead of them.
Yeah, as currently, and it's the story is still ongoing.
Now, obviously, it's on Shonen Jump. Is it intended to be a shonen?
Yes.
Because this could be the ultimate shonen, right? You know, you have Dragon Ball Z where Goku is just always around. You're like, you know, you're a human. At some point, you just age out.
Yeah.
Frieren's like, what if I don't age out?
She gets aged all the way up into, like, World War II.
Yeah. It turns out we've been in England all along.
Yeah, well, so one of my favorite...
She's in there fighting Hitler.
One of my favorite memes from Frieren is, like, she has these aviator sunglasses and, like, an M60 machine gun.
Voltrek.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's just funny because it's so juxtaposition, because you know that she's like an elf, you know, mage, but then, you know, she's just
give her a gun. Yeah. Captain America runs by.
The other thing I'll say too is that, like, I love the animation. Obviously, there's like some episodes, like you said, where, like, you know, Stark's putting on his jacket and it's like, what is this anime? Like,
Did they
animate on the ones for his jacket? You know, but then I think too that the action scenes, especially right close after the midpoint, there's like a really good fight scene. Yeah. Towards the end, there's like a really good fight scene. There's a few episodes that don't have a ton of great animation. Mm-hmm. Not that it's ever bad. It never dips
exceptional.
Just there's moments where it stands out so much that the next episode, when you get a pretty basic episode, you're like, oh, okay, they had to use all the budget on the last one.
They definitely reuse a sequence of walking where it's just feet. Like, you're only seeing, you're not even seeing, like, their ankles.
Well, almost. I mean, so.
And they do, like, back and forth walks. They definitely use it in a couple of episodes as a way to essentially, unless they're like, animate that on the ones. It's like, well, you're saving some budget here for sure.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like, this show is actually one of the, it's really weird of how this show was actually made into an anime, or the manga was. So, after the first chapter came out in 2020, one of the main producers for Toho, basically he was like, we have to make this an anime. Like, oh, wow. After the first chapter, which never happens specifically for Shonen, because at most of the time...
Well, they want to know they have a runway.
They want to know they have a popular show or it's going to go somewhere.
They don't want to go out and pay George R.R. Martin all this money to not write a book in the next decade.
But so they really hit hard to try and get this greenlit as quickly as possible just because they knew it was going to go somewhere.
Yeah.
And obviously it took, 3.5 years for that to happen. And it wasn't in like active production until pretty much like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, I have some trivia from that for the spoiler wall.
Yeah.
But, I mean,
what did you think, Steven, overall?
Yeah. What did you think?
I mean, I enjoyed it a lot. It's a very slow paced anime, like for it being a shonen style show, it is not as frenetic as many are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is a very,
deliberate pace.
Yeah. Deliberate is a good word for it. It's a very, thoughtful show in a lot of ways, especially with what we're playing with, essentially internal nostalgia baiting, where Freerun's nostalgia baiting herself.
Well, that in a lot of ways. It does such a good job at making, her just kind of like her coming to the realization of like what she's missed by being apathetic when she was in the hero's party.
Right.
And now she's kind of realizing that one, she missed out on that, but then now she's trying to like make the most of her time with the new character with Fern and Stark and that kind of stuff.
Right.
And just the emotional through line sometimes.
Well, and
it's really good.
It's really good.
Apply the lessons from Himmel and Heisen and, Heiter.
Yeah.
I really, really don't. If I have a real complaint, pick a different
too many
name.
H names.
Give me an Eisen, Alfred.
Himmel, Heiter.
Yeah. And then Freerun. And then Fern. And it's like, because it's like, okay, cool. We have an another
Fern,
F.
Flamme.
Like, come on, people. You can do a little better here.
Yeah, so there's a lot of German influence.
A lot of Germanic in this. Yeah.
Which pretty much actually, if you look at the German translations for like Freerun, it means frozen, which is very
frozen in time.
Frozen in time, that kind of stuff. Fern is basically means stoic and kind of like emotionless.
Which is basically what she is.
Which is what she is, yeah. But yeah, like the shows are really good.
It's very well done. It's really well conceived. The idea behind it of following the through line where it's like most people, when they tell the story, they would tell you the story of the hero's party going to go defeat the Demon King.
Mm-hmm.
And when the show starts, right, that's already happened. That's past.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we jump forward and it goes from there. And we still are seeing that story, but at the same time still getting the
but you get
current
a, you
day.
Get like bonus stuff with all the present time, and then you get all of the extra of like, oh, we still get to see the actual journey that they went on, but not in a serialized linear path.
It's like a snapshot.
Well, you get kind of bonus characters.
It is,
I do love that every single episode has an extremely good montage. That's real brief, and it just passes a certain amount of time. And it's like they just do this one quick little montage every episode that like just completely works. And every time I'm like, yay, the montage.
I also like that, again, in a show that deals with the passage of time, they don't just kind of look at you like a la Star Wars, where it's like, how long was Luke training on Dagobah? I don't know. It doesn't matter. Whereas here, it's like, hey, we've been here for 3 months. Hey,
well,
it's been a week.
The top of the episode, they put the number.
Yeah,
like
it gives you how many years it's been and stuff and where they are, which is nice.
Yeah.
In general, you need that for any kind of fantasy setting because there's no...
Right.
I don't know. Is this the Rockies? I don't know. It's not. It's some weird place elsewhere. Tell me where you are. Show me a map, please. Yeah.
It's the fantasy Rockies.
Yeah.
So before we go into the...
Spoiler
wall break thing. Ad break. There we go.
Hey, there we are.
I definitely will say, and this is a hot take, and we'll pick it back up on the other side. Mm-hmm. I don't think that this show is worthy of the number one title of GOAT.
I would not have put it
I
there,
wouldn't. I don't even think I'd put it in like the top 20.
So it's a little unfair, right?
That
because
is,
you're taking
yeah.
some shows that have a couple of seasons behind them. They're done. They're complete.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, here we have another season coming.
We still don't know
it's
what's
not,
coming.
It's
yet.
Not a complete story. It could still go. It could have higher highs. It could have lower lows.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's a little awkward to like kick it off and be like, hey, we have one season to work with. This is, top 5, top 10.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Now, I will say like. It definitely hits a top 10 list for me personally, but I don't think just in the whole breadth of the genre of anime, I don't think it hits a top 10.
That's covering so much material.
Yeah, I don't think I would ever in the whole breadth of it, give it a shot. But like for me specifically, like I don't watch a ton of modern anime just because it doesn't appeal to me like the older stuff does.
These kids don't understand.
Yeah. Well, everything's like, my uncle's a divorce lawyer in a fantasy realm and I got sucked in too. And it's like, why is this title 18?
I spent my life as a vending machine, but I'm also the girl who loves you. Like, what are you doing?
What are we doing? Yeah. Just call it soda machine. What are you doing? Yeah. But for me, outside of like Spy Family, this has been one of the few modern anime that has really grabbed me.
Yeah.
And it grabbed me in a way that was so unexpected. I'm like, I was on that first episode.
Disrespectful to G-Witch.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. That's
I had issues with G-Witch though.
Yeah. But like this, like the first episode, episode doesn't hook you.
No.
Like,
now I will say
episode zero on G-Witch did though.
Oh yeah.
I will say, in contrast to G-Witch, I don't think our opening and our intro and our outro songs are nearly the bangers.
No. Well, yeah, but it's also not a Gundam show.
Well, I mean, just in general, I just don't know that it's going to have the same level of earworm.
No, it's still good.
They're still good.
Like, yeah.
And I think the second half improves on it.
Yeah.
But I do think that the other music holds up.
The other music's quite
Evan Call, all that stuff.
Yeah, Evan Call does a wonderful job.
Are you hoping to go on a journey where you can feel nostalgic about the past?
Yeah, that's actually a good one.
Let me tell you, have we got a way to fill in those flashbacks for you? You can go to spoilersintendedpodcast.com and relive every prior episode we've ever released, all the way back to the early days when it just began, before we slayed the seasoned beast to move into new formats and discover exciting new heights. You can see how it began.
We also have a Discord that you can check out. Yeah. We have great discussions on there. Anything that's new coming out, obviously, what we're watching, what we're eating. I made some French fries the other night that were really good.
They looked really good.
Really good. Triple cooked fries.
Yeah. Also, we have social media. We have Facebook and Instagram. We post a lot of fun stuff over there. We also post like what we're going to be reviewing up coming up soon. So you follow us over there. Also, we have a YouTube page now. If you'd like to listen to us over there, check it out.
You can even see us on the spoilies and see our beautiful faces.
Oh, yes. Brace yourself.
All right, and we are back from the spoiler wall. Unfortunately, there's not a ton of trivia or really any trivia at all.
Into the great north.
Yeah. We don't have a first-class mage with us, but we're going to do our best.
We broke through anyway.
We shouldn't be allowed up here without a first-class mage.
But yeah, so there's really no trivia. The only thing is just the German, influence for the words. Mm-hmm. Free remains frozen. Stark is strong. Fern is remote and distant. Himmel means heaven. Wow, go figure. Eisen is iron. Antagonists are all, along the same pattern.
What about Heiter? What does that mean?
I have no idea.
Drunk priest.
Corrupt
priest.
Drot, which is the demon dude that they kill in that one place. I can't remember the actual names. Yeah. He's the wire one that he has a magical wire that he tries to hang Freegram with.
The assassin or whatever. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man, it's been so long since that episode.
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he was such a single note demon.
Well, he's a very stereotypical anime demon characters.
Yes.
They always have this. You have basically the three types of anime evil people, and they're represented immediately in that little vignette of the three demons.
You have the aristocratic,
the noble devil.
Yes.
Then you have like the sadist, calculating but sadist bloodlust, and then
kind of like the assassin
psycho.
Yeah.
B word.
Well, so the thing that I remember whenever we were watching that episode, and I had no idea, because at this point you don't really know how strong Frieren is, because you don't know how strong the Demon King was.
Well, because they don't ever, and I appreciate this about the show. Really.
I do too.
They
I
don't
know where
ever
you're going.
Sit down and are like, your power level is 7,000.
Yeah.
9,000. Like towards the end, where we're getting into this first class, second class, third class stuff. But it's not just like line up against a machine and they calculate.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, hey, can you figure out puzzles? Can you use it in different ways? I really like the tests in the actual first class test. It's really well set up.
Yeah. So my favorite part about that scene, whenever he's trying to kill her with the wire, because we don't know how capable she is.
And we don't really know how mono works. Yeah. Or any of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then she clearly just is completely in control at all times.
She's so beyond his class that she's bored by what's happening right now.
Yeah, and I remember whenever he lifts her up, and I'm just like, oh yeah, she's just holding her with mana. Yeah, this dude is screwed.
He is. Yeah,
all of these demons, they're 100% done.
Also, especially obviously right after that when you have the showdown with Aura, right, mm-hmm. and she pulls out those scales, and I'm like, you don't want to do this, sweetie, and then it's just like,
oh, now I gotta say. Hey, you want to talk about an episode where you're like, man, that was so cool. When she wins the scales battle and just looks at her and is like, kill yourself. And then just walks away.
And
just
she
puts the sword to her own neck and like, whoa.
Yeah.
That was a good moment.
Well, and like that stretch of three episodes is really, mm-hmm. really good because, Frieren has, she knows how demons work. She knows that they're trying to, get into, the society to try and kill it and not try and, make
inroads or peace. Yeah. Background into, the small child demon. The bit where she's like, mommy, and she's like, why do you say that? It's like, because it's a magic word that means you won't hurt us. And it's like, oh, man, that's such a great way to look at
it.
One, we have the generic creepy demon girl doll. It's like, I just don't like that. No.
Well, and obviously that's episode 9 is one of the ones where they really get to flex their animation skills for the first time that we've really, because everything up until that was really well animated, but you're just like, okay, they're little bits here and there. We don't have an entire episode.
The whole episode.
Yeah. It feels very, we'll say One Punch Man
mm-hmm.
up to that point, because you have the dragon, right? And you're oh, okay, this is gonna be the big fight, and Stark one shots it.
Yeah,
and he's freaking out, and she's just like, it's already dead. It's like, okay, this is very One Punch Man in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
until you get to that point with the triple demons,
where
you actually see a bit of real fights that last more than one shot.
Yeah, one shot.
Yeah, well, and that's also the first time we get to see Stark and Fern really.
Anything
unsupervised, mm-hmm. Frieren's
unsupervised is a good
way to
put it.
That's what it feels like. Yeah, Frieren's like, you got it, and leaves. And I, as a viewer, like, no, they don't. Don't leave those babies.
They do not got it.
These
Let
children,
me assure you.
Yeah. Well, but then they did then get they, it, and you're so proud of them. You're like, yeah.
Well, and I think the one thing I really love about this show is Fern's character arc as she goes through, where mm-hmm. up until after she fights the demons and just absolutely just massacres him.
Yeah.
It's like, you're like, okay, she's clearly very capable of this, but she's still very apprehensive about her own abilities.
You see her flee from demons in montages, mm-hmm. and so where Fern or Frieren is just like, yeah, go get him, and she's like, I'm not ready for this kind of moment.
And the full arc of that you get at the end, whenever basically it's not like they're whenever they're in the dungeon, they're fighting essentially, clone Frieren. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're clearly she's the problem, but that's not the actual conflict. It's really that she's trying, basically Fern is kind of looking at Frieren of okay, how strong are you actually?
Right.
And then it's also on the reverse of Frieren is how far have you actually come?
Right. Yeah. There's a lot of layers to that.
It really is.
It's not just straightforward, easy, simple.
Yeah, it's
stuff.
Just like, oh, he's got a power level of this and we need to beat that.
Right. Yeah. There are definitely moments, I will say, though, that I wish they cribbed a little bit from Dragon Ball Z. Not on the power level thing at mm-hmm. all, okay. but specifically towards the end when me and Andrew talked about this, when Frieren just goes off on that one episode against the clone, what is that what we're calling it?
The clone Frieren, the replica.
Yeah. And all these spells are popping off, and I have no perspective of what are we doing?
Is this in the world? Does this break a wall?
So I would have loved a little bit of play-by-play from Fern. Even if she doesn't know what it is.
You need Fern up in a corner, paralyzed indecisively of
going
can I even put any of my power into this? It's a drop in a bucket of the ocean here.
Well, it kind of is, though. And the thing that I really like about that whole thing is obviously,
it was well animated.
It was incredibly well animated.
Great,
The music's also fantastic. Evan Call, you just absolutely killed it.
Yeah.
But
fan of the show, Evan Call. Probably? No? Okay.
He probably is.
Nice.
But I really loved kind of the forced escalation, because Frieren as a character knows what her spells are, mm-hmm. and she knows how she would react if she was presented with another spell of equal magnitude. She was right. like, okay, well, if I do this, that means I'm going, like, my clone is going to do this.
Well, it's, right. it's very much so like fighting Shadow Link in I've blanked on which Zelda it's
Legend
from.
Legend of Zelda
but
2?
You, where you have to fight yourself. It, mm-hmm. it happens more than once, actually.
Yeah, and 2 is the first time you've
but
showed it,
but
up.
But it's
yeah.
kind of a gaming trope that you see a lot, where yeah. it's like, oh, I've spent all this time leveling up, building myself up, I'm so strong, and then you go into this boss, and the boss is like, what if I'm you? And it's like, huh, how do I beat myself?
well, and,
I spent 2 hours leveling up.
That's actually, I mean, that's a pretty common thing in like card games and everything like that, to where you are trying to play into your opponent's ability to like create an opening for themselves by overextending and
gotcha.
Like
okay, yeah, I
thought you were about to say you put a mirror in front of yourself. Like,
Andrew sits down to play Star Wars Unlimited with a mirror in front of him. He's like, I knew you'd do that. That's where I did this.
He
I
played the same card as me, I'm just backwards.
Well, yeah. No, you're really trying to like bluff your opponent into overextending and creating an opening, whatever. And yeah, just the whole final conflict for this season is just phenomenal.
Well, and also in that fight specifically, it's like the edge is that Frieren has Fern.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking the whole time, I was like, is the clone of Fern going to pop out?
Oh.
And it'd be like, oh no.
That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah, I was like, I'm waiting for it to happen. Because like they end that one episode with the fight starting. Mm-hmm. And they start like the next one, they mm-hmm. pick up. And I was like, okay, a lot of stuff's popping off. Where's Clone Fern?
Yeah, where's Clone Fern? She hasn't seen her yet.
Pop out of the rafters? Like, where is she?
Well, that, or you have a moment where it's like all the other mages who are trying to spread out to go fight the other clones, and then it's like Fern just steps into that room, and there's only one person there, nobody there. It's like, oh, no, no, no.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Well,
you do get that with Sense?
Sensei?
Sensei?
Sense. Yeah. Like, it's spelled Sense, but they don't put quite that spice. They put some
spice
on
it. They pronounce
it
slightly different, but yeah.
Where she is kind of like a...
Oh, she's definitely a final boss.
An absolute final boss until Ubel comes along.
Well, and that, like, so, and
with,
I think that's
her
a good...
boy Land.
Well, that's such a good segue kind of into how their magic system works, which I think is absolutely fascinating, because we still don't have a ton of information about, like, the intricate details of, like, this is how mana works and that kind of stuff, but you have the idea of it's all visual for them mentally.
You have to be able to imagine being able to do
to do magic. The things. Yeah.
It's not you say these words and move your hands the right way and it works. It's can you imagine yourself able to do this? Well, if you can, it is theoretically possible for you to make it happen.
Yeah.
But you got to have that kind of faith in yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's such a fascinating way to build that magic system up, because you have characters like Ubel, who isn't like has a ton of mana and just like, you know, Dragon Ball Z levels of power, but she's kind of like the
psychopath who believes she can do anything.
She's one crazy bee.
Yeah. And that's just kind of how she wins, is because she's like, well, hair can be cut.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, and it has nothing to do with
cut. Why would I think it couldn't be?
Yeah. It has nothing to do with how strong the other character is or sense or whatever.
Well, and it adds a wrinkle of like, let's say, you know, she goes up, the cloth example of that dude who was a proctor or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's like, she doesn't understand that this cloak he's wearing
is
like
his
ultimate power.
Yeah. It's one of these moments where it's like, she'd be so mad if she could read.
Yeah.
Like, what if I'm so ignorant that this sign can't stop me?
Right. It's exactly that. Because all these other people are so aware of this cloak that they can't imagine.
They can't mentally figure out how to beat
it. That's a piece of cloth. Cut. You know? And everybody's like, whoa. It's like, yeah. She's so stupid. She's smart.
Yeah.
Well, I also like, again, with Frieren and Fern, and part of this is just Fern is Frieren's student. Mm-hmm. She's very much so in the same
mindset
vein and plays the same way, right?
Yes.
You see some with Flamme when in flashbacks and stuff, you see a bit of a different mage there, but you don't really have an idea of how the magic system works until you reach the tournament style arc at the end.
Yeah.
And you get all these characters and they all have different ways of doing magic. With you have Ubel.
Yeah.
With cuts things.
Mm-hmm.
You have Land, who just clones himself always.
Yeah, which he's just like all the way over back in his...
That was
such a great reveal.
Having that talk,
and she's just like...
You're not even here.
You didn't even enter the city.
And he steps in.
You're sitting at home drinking tea, and it just goes straight to him. He's like, huh.
Yeah.
But like him, his magic.
Denken is really cool.
I love Denken as a character.
Mm-hmm.
At the their introduction of Denken and Richter was painful because they were both anime characters who just keep talking about how things work. It's like, buddy, I know how it's supposed to work right now. Stop talking to the children and actually fight.
Well, and I think, I'm trying to remember when that episode hit. Was that like
that was close? Like episode 18-ish.
Okay. 18, 19, somewhere in there,
I don't know if that was like after a tiny break in airing in Japan and they're trying to like fresh people's minds.
Exposition dumps at the beginning.
Yeah, we were still having the system broadened out for us, the viewer, right? Like, I hadn't really experienced a lot of it. And getting all these new mages, like Werbel with his containment spell or whatever. Then...
I'm trying to think of the two young girls.
That's who I was trying to think of. The two girls who have the...
Please hold.
Water and Ice.
Yeah.
I love their characters.
I like them okay.
They are...
The little girl in the tiny shorts is weird. Lawine
and...
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten their names at all.
Linny? No, that's the demon.
And then we have Denken's surrogate granddaughter.
Laufen,
Speed Girl.
Yeah, I love her character design is flawless.
Yeah, she just looks like Chun Li, which is why it's flawless design because she looks like Chun Li.
It's a solid, time-tested
time tested kid approved design.
Kane, okay,
yeah, Kane is the one that has the shorts.
I love the dynamic between the two of them.
Yeah. But she is very much emphatically an anime character.
She is. And when she comes on screen, for me, like the first time, I'm like, oh, because everything else has up to that point has felt so original and so like outside of the box.
Also, the way most people are dressed feels very fantasy. And she shows up and you're very modest. You look like you could just be in most any modern anime.
Yeah. Right. Because she's pretty much the only character we've seen so far that is like, not modest
or like
right
like, and it's
like
very,
hold up honey One Piece is over there
it's very off-putting initially but I like her character so it's you know it's tough
and I just wish there was a little more between the two of them because their initial dynamic when they first introduced and they're arguing I love it and then I feel like
it almost gets old after they keep going back to that well and you're like okay we understand something with it. They do vary at the end.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is like, so I haven't read further in because I'm kind of trying to find the actual physical manga before reading it online or anything like that.
Yeah.
And I just haven't found volume 4 and 5 yet, but it's definitely one of those where I have a feeling that like, I know that like Denken comes back
because
so like, I know that these characters do come back in some capacity later on.
I'll be honest. I feel like most of the characters that
we're strong enough that are going to come back.
They're going to, well, I mean, we have a fair number
see
of
Sign
first
again.
Class mages.
Yeah.
Passing.
I really like
I miss
Sign
my
as
guy
as
Sign.
Yeah. He was there for 3 episodes and then, you know,
I know.
Left along
does he find his buddy?
I would like to see, you know, Gorilla Warrior.
Yeah. I want to know if Gorilla Warrior and Sign are somewhere.
No, it's Gorilla Warrior and Goatee Priest.
Goatee Priest.
I want to see them, their dynamic together. I wouldn't mind seeing Croft. Show up some more.
Oh yeah, I really like him.
I thought
the Elven Monk's really cool.
Oh yeah,
I thought when he showed up, I was like, well, this is a logical piece for the party.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just like, okay, anyways, bye.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Well, you are also another elf, and apparently elves are
just very apathetic
on the spectrum. Maybe I don't know
something.
Yeah.
What did y'all think about the comedy?
I love it.
I laugh a lot at this show.
There are a lot of laughs.
There are some really good moments with Stark. Particularly just because like he's kind of clueless.
Yeah.
Now I will say going back to that, the show does suffer in the last run of about 10 episodes because Stark just kind of disappears.
Well, that's,
he does.
So whenever I've just did some reading about like whenever the mage trial arc or whatever started, people were very upset about it because it did split up the party a little bit. It ruins a lot of like the pacing dynamic and everything like that.
Sure.
Granted, like once you get past it, it gets back into it.
Well, but up until that point too, they've been kind of playing with the Stark Fern relationship.
OTP?
And like, is this going somewhere? And then like all that just gets put
on hold.
But, I mean, clearly like they're definitely
something's going to happen.
There's some romantic tension there.
Yeah.
But, and I kept thinking that like, you know, since they sidelined Stark, I was like, is one of these other boy mages going to like make a pass at Fern or make a move?
No.
Are we going to have a triangle? Like
Fern wants nothing to do with anyone.
Clearly she's just like clearly, yeah. I also just like speaking like early in the series, I love the relationship she has with Heiter.
Yeah.
And all those flashbacks, even you get them after they leave and after Heiter's, you know, passed away or whatever. Like, and you see all these like, you know, memories that she had. And it, again, I just feel like the arc at the end with the tests was really good.
Yeah.
But it definitely feels like a different show from the front part where you're having a lot of those flashbacks, because the emotional through lines to me aren't as strong in that second half. It's more about this is an interesting test.
And also introducing a bunch of new characters that we haven't seen before.
And it's also establishing a little bit, it's doing a lot more world building.
It is, yeah.
Just because, and that's kind of the thing is like, because I haven't read ahead, I don't know, but it's definitely one of those where it really feels like they added so much world building and kind of like, this is the scale of like kind of the conflict that you're looking at.
Now you can springboard from this and do all kinds of things with it.
And I think, you know, you just had to take that deviation to do it.
Yeah. No, I don't fault it necessarily for it. I just don't think I enjoyed it as much because the emotional through line I definitely agree there.
Well, you also, you had so many good episodes where the flashbacks had pieces that told the informed the story as it is now. Like you go to the whole like Sword of Heroes bit, right? Where, and Himmel drew forth the Sword of Heroes as heroes do according to prophecies. No, it didn't actually. It's still in the rock.
Yeah.
No one can get it out.
Which I love that because it shows that he was not like the chosen
He's not perfect. He's not wonderful.
He just killed the Demon King because he did it.
Yeah.
Did the his little line in like the last or second to last episode where, again, it's a flashback because it's always a flashback.
Yeah.
He's talking about, you know, why do you, you know, spend so much time doing
little stuff,
little stuff. And how that informs someone like verbal, how do you say it? Verbal. See, I want to call it verbal, but that's Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
So I don't like that.
it's just verbal.
Verbal.
Yeah. That's how it's spelled.
But like the way it informs his outlook.
Yeah.
And I also like that, again, when these characters were introduced in that arc, they are all very flat, one-dimensional, expected anime pieces. And I think by the end of it, most of them are pretty fully
pretty good developed characters.
Yeah.
There's the one female mage that I can't think of her name.
Matilda.
Methodi?
Method.
Never really got anything with her.
She's the mommy. Oh. Never mind.
She's like the taller.
She's the tall. She's the one that.
I thought her name was Matilda or Mathilde.
No, I don't know.
It's Methode.
Method.
I was thinking about the one who just gets destroyed in the first encounter with Sense because she just doesn't get to do anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember what her name is.
She just gets wiped out. Yeah.
But yeah, I thought the comedy was great. Like, especially the callbacks with like the mimics and like just Frayren's
The ongoing joke with the mimic is just fantastic.
Like the Frayren not being able to wake up. I was like, I feel seen. I showed my wife. I was like, come look at this. And I played it. She's like, that's like you. I'm like, I know, she can't get up. And then there was some other part that was really funny. Oh, the whole section when Sign is still with them and they help the guy with the cart and then they get picked up by this demon and then they're falling and they're trying to figure out like how much levitation are we going to crush? You know, it's just like that whole thing was funny. But then that's a perfect example of one of those episodes where like she loses the ring, you know, and you're like, okay, it's kind of this innocuous thing. And then like by the end of it, you're like, this is the most important ring on earth. Is this an engagement ring?
You know? Yeah, because he basically proposes to her and she's like, cool, thanks.
Yeah. Nice round circle of metal. Anyways, let's go over here. And then the same thing happens with like the flower spell. Episode,
oh man!
Where they at the top of the tower? They finally
that just,
find
that one just kills me.
The flower spell continues to come back too with the field of flowers references.
Yeah, with whenever she's talking to Sari, and I really like her. Sorry, I didn't mean to.
No, you're good.
No, but I really
We were talking comedy. Now we're moving ourselves away from.
I know.
Comedy,
sorry.
But, you know, the inevitability of this show.
Yeah,
it's
Sari's,
funny. Oh no, sad.
Sari's kind of like role in this is really, really cool because obviously she trained Flamme.
Right.
And then, you know, obviously she's effectively an immortal elf and she's the one that started all the mage trials and all that other kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just funny how much she just doesn't like Frieren at all.
Yeah.
Because she's just like, well, you're just not the person you're not the elf I want you to be.
Right, yeah, that's the attitude for sure.
If I have to be immortal with all these mortals, I could have another immortal mm-hmm. who could be my equal, and we could be counterparts to one another, and you're just disappointing because you're not that.
Yeah. Instead, you're this dork that likes flower spells, yeah.
And clean laundry spells and removing stains. Oh,
I loved that with Fern. That was pretty funny,
yeah. Well, so when she's turning around, like showing off her, I was like,
What are we doing here?
Is it a new outfit?
I wasn't sure
looks
either.
The same to me.
Yeah, and then it was like, it's clean. I was like, oh, that's a pretty tight spell, actually.
We want to talk about some handy everyday usage. I can make use of that.
Oh, man.
Cool. I really like how...
murder my whole house with that. Clean that pile.
A lot of other fantasy shows that have magical spells and that kind of stuff. Like, I'll just say, like, Hocus Pocus, whatever. Mm-hmm. Where they can just kind of, like, flick their wand and they just fix things or whatever.
Mm, right.
And because they can just do magic.
I mean, Harry Potter fixes the glasses.
Yeah, where this is literally... Yeah. Like, you have to understand how the spell works to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Which is, I love that kind of like twist. So then it makes whenever she gets a clothes cleaning spell.
Or just all the small spells that Frieren continually mm-hmm. is hunting for. I also, going back to the comedy bit, I loved the first trial with the Stilla.
Oh, yeah.
The what? Supersonic bird.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like, this is just an innocuous bird. Put it in a cage.
I can
like,
go okay, Mach 3. What is this supposed
to? And then the one clip from where they fail to catch it and the bird just shoots into the screen. Just oh, that bird is booking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that got definitely like a full laugh out of me. I was just like, oh, okay, this is actually a problem.
I know. I will say that all the mage trials I thought were good in their own way. Like the first one, catching the bird, you get to learn a lot about the two girl characters. I can't think of their name.
And you also get really good dynamics with it being a party and the whole, like, you have to have a bird and your whole party has to be alive. So it's like, we could go out. I could just, you know, Ubel or Werble could just go, God, okay, their names together sounds terrible. We could just go on a rampage and just destroy parties wholesale, but it's like, but if I lost, you know, the guy who can't keep up mm-hmm. in the process, I still lose.
Right. Yeah. And you get to see how Fern interacts with like a different group because mm-hmm. you've only really seen her, you know, with Frieren and Stark up to then.
It's just like, what if we have Fern, definitely on the spectrum, Land, probably on the spectrum, and Ubel, just a different ball of problems.
On a different spectrum altogether.
She's a whole different island.
Yeah.
I did love that kind of moment because this is the first time we've obviously seen Fern like in combat with anyone else besides like a demon. So we still don't really know like her power of like how strong she actually is.
Right.
And when she's fighting the other mage.
I can't think of her name.
Rock girl. I don't know her name.
Throwing rocks at her. Yeah. And Fern is just completely calm. Just calm like no problem off. At all. And the girl's like, what is this girl? Like,
what is she even doing? She's just blocking everything. Everything I throw to shoot.
Yeah.
It's like it starts
what
to sink in.
What is wrong with you?
Yeah, and it's just such a, like, she's so good at, you know, obviously controlling her mana, and she's really fast at casting because she's just lived with being a mage her whole life.
Right.
Well, it's also one of those things where she has one spell.
Mm-hmm. And she's very good at it.
Really good at it. In fact, I'm so good at Freebird, let me just do it 20 times at the same time for you.
Yeah,
right.
See, how do you like that? No, it's tough, isn't it?
I do love whenever, like, you can tell when she's, like, semi-serious because she just shoots a lot of them very quickly.
Again, we're right back into Saitama where it's, like, serious show, serious punches. It just throws a bunch of punches. Like, yeah. I've seen this before.
And then, like, the second trial, the whole, like, the
dungeon.
What's it called? The King's
King, the Ruin of Kings or something like that.
Yeah. The dungeon.
It was
and
great.
It's like the golem mechanic. I was like, oh, that's a cool idea.
I mean, the golems are so well animated they did it.
Like, especially like there's that one point where I can't remember which character it is, but it may be the same girl that went up against Fern. But when she busts it and it's like she's about to get hit and you're like, there's no way this golem stops it. And he's just like, no, sir.
That's the girl who just gets absolutely stomped by Senses. Yeah.
That's
clone.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, nah.
Nope. And it just runs out with her. And I was wow.
That's the part that I love is just like, I pick you up, I protect, and also we're gone.
We're gone. And then, like that, the way that whole trial wrapped was really cool with the mm-hmm. whole fight with like the especially the twist of like, oh, these the couples come back.
Yeah, yeah. You'll
they respawn.
It.
Yeah. Yeah. That was like a good twist where I was like, oh no.
This is a problem.
We need to hurry. And then the third one with just like talking to Siri.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's kind of lame. They're just going to talk to her.
Oh man, I loved it.
But then it was awesome. Like it turned into like this like, oh, whoa, we're getting to like really know a lot about each of these characters every time they roll in. The different dynamics
at play, like when first girl walks in, it's one of the pair. I don't know her name. Yeah. She walks in. She's like, look, barely glances, like, fail.
Yeah. Yep. I know. You're like, dang.
Cold as ice.
Well, so I'm actually glad that Sari didn't fail everyone except for Fern, because that would have felt too tropey.
That would have felt too much. Been, yeah.
Where I really liked how you still got a conversation with every single one.
Mm-hmm.
With each of them, just to kind of see like how they reacted to Siri and everything like that.
Yeah, and see how she reacted to them.
Get the insight into them, like with Denkin, where she's like, "You considered how you could fight me for a moment, yes, and then I discarded it because it's stupid."
So a fun thing, and this is kind of changing gears a little bit. So this was directed by Keiichiro Saito, who was whenever they brought him on because he was working at Madhouse. They basically brought him on to do this. He was already set to be Bocchi the Rock's director at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And he was basically directing both shows at the same time during production.
So I made a joke about like, wow, anime really took this turn where we have this type of character, the Suleta, Frieren, Bocchi. Like there've been several of these types of characters
on the spectrum
recently where it's like, these all feel very, but the fact that it's the same director on those two is just like, okay, well, hold on. Whoa.
Yeah.
You got a type or what, dude? Like what's going on? Do you need to meet your wife?
So the cool thing is that these are the two shows that he has directed. Like, that's it.
That's it. Okay.
That's his directorial debut for Bocchi and
it's a good lead-off.
Yeah, it really is. Like,
hey, so for your directorial debut, could you do a double?
Yeah, and like and he was just like, yeah, I can do it. So he used to do, he did key animation for like
his answer is, I don't know.
Let's find out.
I've never done it.
Yeah, he's like, it's just crazy.
So anyways, I can't actually do two at once. I'm going to write the same character.
So real quick question, what did you guys think of the last episode, the ending?
I thought it was fantastic.
It was great.
I thought it was okay.
What?
No.
I liked it.
The bit, again, because like you said, we moved away from a lot of the past flashbacks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Got out of that rhythm.
Oh, man, you get the full throughput with and Himmel, and he's just like, why do you make bit fast?
Right. Himmel, why do you always say goodbye so quickly? And it's like, because...
It would be embarrassing.
We're going to meet again, and it would be embarrassing if I was crying when I had to see them again and explain why.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, is that, oh, we will, like, she will meet him again kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, right. The feel.
Yeah.
No, the feels were there. Mm-hmm. I felt like, to me, there should have been an episode in between where, like, the next to last or something to give us a little more. That. It just, to me, it ended weird. It felt like.
Nah,
we
nah,
weren't.
Wrong.
No.
It's okay. You can be wrong.
There's some closure here, but like for me, the emotional hits and the like stuff that happened mid-season hit harder for me.
I definitely agree there.
Like to me,
I don't know about that.
But I really because so like every episode, you know, obviously is named, but you know, with one line of the show that's going to happen.
That's
going to
come up. Yeah,
and I the whole time I was like, okay, where does this come into play?
Right,
like, it'll be embarrassing next time we meet or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it finally happens. Like there it is, and this is I love that.
I think for me was again through most of the show, you get used to this rhythm of current pass, call and repeat, and repeat.
Yeah.
And we got out of that rhythm. We got into something different. I was like, okay, this is different. I also like this. This is fun and new. And then we got a taste of the old. I was like, oh yeah, but I still like that.
Yeah. No, I think for me, it was just that the flashback and the payoff at the very end was not as strong for me emotionally as some of the other flashbacks had been.
I can agree there.
And that's felt fun. Like it's the end of the season. I thought they were going to hit us with like something that like, oh my gosh. Like
I'll definitely say this, that the proposal scene with the ring is still considered one of the most emotionally charged parts of the whole franchise or whole series.
But now I will, again, going back to this ending, right? You know, it'd be embarrassing
if we meet again.
Pulling back from that episode, right?
Mm-hmm.
Presumably, when that episode was animated, dialogued, everything else, they don't know that there will be a second season.
That is also true.
So if we knew, hey, the show's not going to have another season, what a hit that line would be at the end,
right?
Yeah.
Where it's just like, maybe it's 5 years. We don't know.
Yeah, we just don't know. Yeah.
So like in terms of them setting that up for, hey, we're telling a story we enjoy. It could go a lot
further.
We're
not sure.
We don't know. Yeah. Like what a great
way to end it.
Stinger to end it on, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. From that perspective, if you can divorce your own knowledge of like the season,
the fact that we knew at that point when it came out, but like again, when it was being done, they probably didn't know.
Yeah.
Presumably. I mean, I don't know if this got picked up after the first chapter came out and this dude's like, you have to make an anime. It's like, this dude's a super fan. He'll pay it forever. Put stick figures up there. He just likes it. I don't know.
He just loves it.
Can you pull up on Spotify? I'm pulling an Audible here. Audible, get it?
Oh, no, that's the wrong thing. It's Spotify. It's
Spotify. I'm pulling a Spotify here.
Not an audio book. No, don't do that either. That's worse.
What do you want me to pull up?
Zoltrak. I'm like 20 seconds in.
Zoltrak.
So I love the way that Evan Call has done like a very Celtic kind of twinges. Like...
These type of instruments are very, from a Western perspective, this is what fantasy music kind of sounds like.
It is.
Lord of the Rings, this is Howard Shore's Fall, this is other things.
For sure, like the main theme elements of this one, there's a couple other songs that are like, they feel like you could put footage from the Lord of the Rings over it and it would just work. You know what I mean?
So it's interesting because, you know, we talk about, there's a lot of German in this, right? All the names are German. And the Japanese love the Germans, and that's, from a modern perspective, a little uncomfortable. But at the same time, when you see a map of the world, you're like, well, that's England.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, it's fantasy. Well, it's probably vaguely
English, yeah.
And then you get hit with this music. Okay, this fits. And then they're like, Heisen, Himmel, Heiden, Frieden. Okay, whoa, calm down, Hans. What's going on here?
So Evan Call, if you're unfamiliar with him, he did Violet Evergarden, My Happy Marriage, and this, basically. He's done a lot of other stuff, but he's just an American composer that lives in Japan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he just moved over there, wanted to be a composer for anime.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean,
he's doing it very well.
He's the otaku that the otakus wish they were.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, yeah. I mean, he's incredibly talented, but I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does.
I'd never heard of any of his stuff until this show. Mm-hmm. And like, I think it was like episode 3 or 4. It was early-ish. Where like some song hits and I go, what? Who's doing the music on this? I looked it up. I was like, Evan Call.
Who are you?
Who's this guy?
Look at this nerd.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Evan. It's like, what?
So
how are you in Japan?
The full, like, so right now we just have like a pre-release album, which is just like a couple of the songs. Yeah. We have a full album release on April 17th.
Oh, soon.
Soon-ish. But at the time of recording, it's not out yet. So
it's pretty annoying.
Yeah.
Pretty infuriating in some ways.
Yeah. So, okay. We're kind of winding down here. Would you rewatch it?
Ooh, yes.
There's a couple episodes for sure.
Yeah. I feel like if I've been trying to get my wife to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
I think she would like, she loves fantasy.
Yeah. This is pretty much just fantasy.
And I've done the thing I've done with a few different anime with her, like Spy Family, where I just have it on in the room and she'll see it. And like eventually I got her with Spy Family and she marathoned the whole show. Yeah. She hasn't done that with this yet. So I can keep, if she wanted to rewatch it, I would rewatch it with her for sure. Like no sweat, no problem.
Yeah.
But like on my own, I don't know. I think I would have to wait a little bit for a rewatch just because it's still so fresh on the mind right now. But like, see, I'm with you. A few episodes I would rewatch just by themselves to come.
See,
like,
I think I got the advantage right now. My wife loved this show.
Really?
Yeah, we went through this because I was kind of late getting into watching it.
Yeah, until
a little late. The last
yesterday. He started yesterday.
No, I did not.
He did better than he normally does.
The last episode, the last two episodes had not been released by the time I started watching. Thank you very much. So we kind of went through it in blocks of like 3 and 4 in a night.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, you know, again, and anytime you're like, oh, I need to binge watch anime. It's like, this is like 22 minutes.
It's nothing.
It's so easy compared to Game of Thrones, watch an hour with 3 childbirths. But like, I think on that note, it'd be easy to rewatch. It's an easy excuse just to fire up a couple episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And especially, you know, we don't know how long it's going to be until we get season 2.
Yeah, it could be a year, could be 2 years.
It might be, you know, in a year, you know, hey, season 2 has been announced. Oh, got to rewatch this.
Need to rewatch it.
You know?
Did you watch the dub, Steven?
I did.
How was it?
It's quite good.
Okay.
And I'm going to mess this up because I've messed this up.
Please
throughout.
Do.
But the voice actress who plays Frieren and Fern in Japanese, and the dub actresses for Frieren and Fern in English, they play the same characters, if that makes sense. So, like, the actress who plays Frieren, when that act, when that character gets dubbed, it's the same actress that they use for this Frieren.
Oh, really?
Like, so, like, there are some parallels there where it's like, this person has played characters played by this other character.
Oh, oh, I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm trying to say here? Yes, now I got you.
I saw you mess this up. Well, it's not an easy visual.
You did mess it up.
I know, I told you.
So fun fact, the voice actress who plays Fern for both English and Japanese, yes. Connie Chinoze and I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
Scarlett Johansson.
Both play Soletta from G-Witch.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So and I knew there were some parallels like that.
Actress that does Frieren, she's also Anya from Spy Family or something like that?
No. So Atsumi Tanizaki for Frieren, for the Japanese, she is actually kind of new. Like, she's in stuff, but she's never, this is like one of her first top billing.
I may have been using the wrong example. It may have been Fern's example, not Frieren's example. But either way, the dub is quite good. They push some strength on some of the names. like Stark is not Stark. It's Mr. Stark.
Mr. Stark.
Like, and there, now I will say, on Crunchyroll, the dub, we had English captions running with the dub, and Crunchyroll's just like, nah, I'm not going to display the captions. So there are a couple times when they would say names, and we both just be like, I don't know what that person, like,
what's that name?
When Croft shows up, they're like, Croft. I'm like, I couldn't begin to spell this. And then I saw it spelled in, because the last two episodes weren't dubbed yet.
Yeah.
I saw it spelled in that, and it's just like, Kraft. He's just cheese. Why did you make this so hard?
So I got an article here that says Frieren and Anya are the same voice actress.
Oh, okay.
Well, there you go.
But it may be the English voice actor.
I think it's the English voice actor, because I don't think that
if it is,
Tanizaki does.
That English actress has been getting some good work here lately. Like,
well, I mean, Connie Chinoze is one fantastic, but then
Atsumi Tanizaki.
She's Anya?
That's what it says here on Reddit. Hold on. Let me confirm this because I'm like, I don't trust my sources over here, but this is where I saw it earlier. Was someone posted a meme of the two of them.
I'm looking it up. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen memes like that as well.
Right. And I was like, I saw a reaction to a meme.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
no, she's okay. No, she's actually in a lot. I was mistaken there. Yeah, she is Anya. Okay. I lied.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. You're good. I was like, I could have swore I saw someone say it as a comment, and I don't trust that enough to be like.
Yeah. But anyways, the dub is good. You know, obviously, I watched the last couple episodes in sub because that's all that was available at the time. Yeah. And going from one to the other wasn't jarring. The voices didn't change significantly, which implies that then the dub won't sound like a big change from the Japanese, if that makes sense. Like because sometimes you have, like, this character is high-pitched and squeaky, and then the English actor is like, I'm here to talk.
Right, that happened with them.
Yeah, it's like, whoa.
Spy Family's dub is weird. Like, Lloyd's voice is like, Anya, we need to do. I'm like, whoa, why is that the voice you went for with
Calm
that?
Calm down, Batman.
Yeah. Well, I asked just because, like, if I was going to rewatch it, I would probably maybe rewatch in the dub just so I could be doing other stuff because I've already seen it. If I was doing a full rewatch, but on specific episodes, I'd probably go back and watch it. In the
and sub. that was also part of the easy sell for the wife is because when you watch with the dub, you can just, like, while you're eating dinner, we can watch an episode and then we finish dinner. And now we've watched three episodes, you know, because you don't have to, like, have that.
Now my dinner is cold and I'm crying. Well, and there's three more.
We actually sat down with dinner.
Why are there blue flowers everywhere?
And we started the sub episode. And it was like, I reached out to get some broccoli. And I was like, I don't know what they said. I need to eat faster.
So I've already rewatched most of the show.
I'm so shocked. This dude watched GH like three times before we
rewatched. Now, I will say that I've rewatched the episode 26, which was like the final battle with Frieren clone and Fern, like eight times. Like,
oh, wow.
Good Lord, man.
Well, not really, just because the animation is just beautiful.
Yeah.
But I really love the moment, and we can finish after this, but I really love the moment where her and Frieren are kind of like having the little conversation right before like the big final thing where it's like a little bit of a flashback to when they're kind of planning.
And it's just the two of them by themselves talking.
Yeah. And I love that moment whenever Frieren is kind of walking away and she looks back and she was like, I know we can do it because I underestimate you. And then you get the little wry smile from Fern. You're just like, ooh, yeah, this is it.
We can make use of this.
Yeah.
I will say, though, at the end of that fight, after Fern just gets absolutely wall-slammed.
Actually, we need to talk about that.
And Frieren is all like, look, see, I haven't had to use that spell in years. I'm like, Frieren, calm down. She has, like, internal bleeding.
Right, yeah.
Like, organs have been smashed.
That's again kind of where I think they could crib a little from DBZ and have like a moment where it's like, oh my gosh, are you alive? Okay,
So, okay, yeah. So that final spell.
She gets
yeah.
straight Yamcha.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, we need to have a little bit of postulating here because we obviously don't know. And clearly the last time she had to use this was when she was fighting and killing the Demon King. Yeah, because she said 80 years or whatever, which fits.
Yeah.
And it's definitely one of those where, you know, clearly like this is some kind of like psychokinesis, maybe
something
because like clearly like she like Frieren has to have a full party's worth of support to be able to use this spell because of it leaves her completely open to do it.
Yeah.
So like what is that?
I don't know. There was so much that happened in that fight that I was like, what was that? That was a waterfall of energy? What just happened?
For all the other mage fights we got where people would just be like, and you see, I use this type of magic because it lets me maintain my mana, and most mage fights are fights of attrition.
Yeah.
And I'll win the fight of attrition, and oh my god, this elf has so much mana, I'm going to lose anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you get those kinds of fights,
yeah.
And then you had this where it's just like, we fight with imagination and color. It's like, guys, tell me, Fern, say something, please.
I don't even know what you're calling, but yeah, specifically when she pinned her against the wall and all that, it was like, okay,
this is something very different than what we're used to seeing.
Right.
Yeah. Well, cause she just like snaps her head around, looks at her and it's just like, be gone. And it's like, whoa.
And Fern's reaction's like, I'm sorry. What is this?
Well, cause she says
magic.
Yeah. She was like, I don't recognize any mana here. Like, so is this only something that only elves can do? Is
only
this
something Frieren can do?
She dropped like the Bene Gesserit voice of command on her. Like,
yeah, pretty wall. Like it's very similar to that kind of like control it feels. But obviously, like the only reason why she can do it is because she is used to having, you know, a full party, a D&D party's worth of support where you have the frontliner, you have the mage, you have the priest, you have the...
Well, and beyond that, it's because you also have another Frieren you're going up against. So, like, when your guard is down, a Frieren's on top of you. You know what I mean? Like,
which I will say, I do wish we got a little more of that dynamic. Actual, like, what fighting as a party is like, where you have each role fulfilled. Because we only have all four roles on the field for, like, two episodes.
Flashbacks.
And we don't really get, like, an actual party fight. No, not even the Flash. I'm talking about with...
With, like, Stark and...
Yeah,
Sign. Yeah.
Well, like, I have a feeling we're going to get the full Demon King fight at some point.
Oh,
and
sure.
We're going to get to see the flashback.
I mean, but I also want to see it in current era.
No, I do, too. And I think we'll get that as well.
Because it's interesting because when you look at their current party, right, you're overloaded with mages because you have Frieren and Fern.
Too many mages.
And then you don't have a priest and you don't have a fighter.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because
Stark's just a tank.
Yeah, Stark is a tank. Aggro tank. Yeah,
he's just an aggro tank.
Here to pull aggro and just get beat up while he does some damage sometimes. So I'll be interested to see that hopefully in season two.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, I think once we go north of the wall, and like
we're further north,
that's where
we're
things
already north.
Well, you know, clearly,
north.
Like there's already like there's,
where the
there's
demons
bad
are.
Stuff. Yeah, there's still clearly bad stuff around.
Well, this is like the frontier. You still have human settlements and like a whole big city with a magic college in it. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so that does sound like we're kind of wrapping up here. But before we go, we always have to talk about our Patreon, which is the best way to support the show. For only $1. You can get access to all of our bonus content, episodes, Patreon picks, polls.
We don't got no tiers. We just got $1.
$1.
We'd be glad if you paid us more, though. We wouldn't turn it down.
We would appreciate it.
We would never say no. But it does help us pay these hosting fees, keep producing episodes like this and many others, as well as the bonus stuff where we get a little wacky, get a little weird.
Yeah, it's definitely a different format than our normal episodes. We have a lot of fun over there. And you also get access to, like, our Patreon picks polls.
Like Andrew already mentioned,
Yeah, well, we have fun bonus episodes that we do.
Yeah.
We fight, you know, monarchs.
We fought monarchs. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Maybe next time we're going to fight demons.
We've got some commentaries.
I lose.
Dang.
Oh, man.
I win that one, though.
I think I win that one.
But yeah, seriously, it does absolutely support the show the best way possible, and you get this, you know, you get to listen to episodes like this,
which is fun. And a little extra bonus fun Christmas stuff there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, as always, follow us on social, leave us a review wherever you're listening now, and share us with a friend. That sounds like all the time we have this week. Until the next time, I'm Andrew.
I'm Ryan.
And I'm Steven.
And every spoiler was intended.